Welcome to the Bridge Podcast. Thank you for listening to today's message from Pastor Scott. We pray that it helps you connect to God in a fresh new way.
All right, who's excited about that? Yes, yes. You see, Hercules is in that movie. Superman's in that movie. Dean Cain, Kevin Sorbo. Anybody remember that old Hercules? I was saying Hercules like the clumps. Hercules. Which, does anybody else but me think that new rock Hercules looks ridiculous? I know Dale thinks it looks amazing, because he's a sucker for terrible graphics and CGI, but in my head, I think that the same people who made, like, the scary movies, like, to make fun of Scream, made Hercules. Like, it's supposed to be a parody, but only certain people know it's supposed to be funny. And I'm one of those people, because I am so smart and intelligent. So, no, that's just a joke. Or is it? So good morning, welcome to the Bridge. Billy Ray, thank you for being here with us this morning. We're so glad to be with you today, so glad that you came and chose to worship. I still got the beach, and I got sand in my ears and everywhere else, and I had, it's probably not a hangover, that sounds bad. You picture me with some ice cold lemonade on the beach. We had a great time in Virginia, Eastern Shores. Cape Charles is a beautiful, beautiful place. It's just amazing to get along with your family and get along with God at times, and just unplug, watch a lot less TV, play a lot less games on your phone, and just really admire how wonderful God is. Like, if you just pay attention to the world around you, it's really hard to believe that there isn't a God. So it's good to be back. I really could have stayed easily another month. But Mount Orb is nice too. It's nice. It's okay for Brown County. It is the jewel of Brown County, I will say that. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. Pray with me. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. The reason we've got Billy up there, we've got one part wonder, and last time we had, is somebody talking to me? Am I hearing stuff? Yeah, I'm hearing stuff. What's that? It's the sand. Yes, I'm like a girl. You ever seen the Gurgle Pot? By the way, have you ever seen those? They had those in one of those like knickknack shops. It looks like a fish when you pour it over. Blah, 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 blah. I should have brought a video of it, because I can tell you that my demonstration didn't do it justice. At any rate. The reason we have one part wonder up there is, you remember we had our friend Vanilla Ice the last time we did a one part wonder. And all that really means is we're in between series. And so we'll start a new kind of mini series next week. And we've got a big series called B-Sides coming up in September, I've talked to you about. So today's just going to be a one off. And, today, really, I had through the week that we were away. And I tend to think out. And so if you know about the series that we do, for example, we'll tend to plan out 4 or 5, sometimes 6 weeks in advance, and I feel like God has given us a message or a theme to think about and expand upon, and so we build around it and try to pull in some things that help connect it to you, things of the world, examples from the world. And I really had started down a completely different path, and throughout the week, I felt like God was speaking to me and telling me to do some things, and I might share some of that with you. But I started to formally type out every sermon that I've preached over the last year, and it's all in notes. No, you can't have them, and they will be used and held against me. So you're not going to have those. But I just want you to know that I do that. And as I was typing out and kind of formulating my thoughts, and that is when it becomes real to me. And when I type it out and I see it, then I can kind of review it and chew on it, pray about it, and then allow God to say, you know what? How about this instead of that? And why don't you put this scripture in instead of that? And use this example instead of that. And so that's as part of my process in sermon prep. And as I was doing that, I was kind of typing out kind of an intro, so to speak, to the message that I felt God wanted me to give today. And as I was typing out that intro, the intro really became the sermon in and of itself. And so what I did is I just ran with it because I feel like that was just something that God was leading me towards. And really probably what today would probably be called is manifesto, a manifesto of sorts. And I really just felt like as I was, you know, away and kind of unplugged from work and unplugged from, you know, the hustle and bustle of everyday life, and I really began to think about the things that God's doing in us and through us and what he's called us to, and really reflecting on some of the, you know, the memories and moments that we've had recently in the church and over the last year particularly, and really the last 5 years have been kind of a time of change and transformation for this church body. And I really tried to just clear my head and dial in about what God would have me do as pastor here, and not just myself as pastor of this church, but as a person, as a citizen of the kingdom. Like, we just had the, you know, the Kingdom Come series, and it's much bigger than us. We know that it's big, but it's also bigger than just our local church. It's how do we fit in into the global body of Christ? And I was just really trying to seek God in some of my downtime this week and thinking about that. And again, I'm coming back to this idea of a manifesto. What I mean by that this morning is what you're going to do today, good, bad, or ugly, is you're going to have a very, very clear understanding, something that's going to be on tape. Is that right, Rob? We roll in podcast. And so we're gonna have it on tape for you. So if you ever get confused about, I don't even know what they're trying to do at that church, well, you can just get your little earbuds in and you can listen to it 24 hours a day if you choose. Because so today we're going to go from A to Z. This is what God has called us to do. And I know that you said, well, Scott, we've already talked about that. I feel like what we've done a lot is you'll get bits and pieces. You'll get like 30-second or 5-minute or 7-minute little kind of commercial breaks in between sermons that say, this is what we're about, this is what we're doing. And we talked a bit about that during the vision series. But today, I just want to leave no room for doubt, if that's okay. I just want to get directly to the point. I want to get in your kitchen, so to speak, spiritually. And I want us to make sure that we are all very clear about where this thing is going, that we know where this train is heading and what tracks it's running on. And so a manifesto is the word that kept coming to my head as I was typing out my intro that became a sermon. A manifesto is a public declaration of policy and aims. A manifesto is a public declaration of policy and aims. It's a people, a person, or a group of people who will write down or make formally known, hey, this is what we're about. This is what we're about. This is what we're about. I believe that personally, I'm positioned, I can't do everything, but a few things I feel like God has called me to do. And I feel like I'm positioned to reach a generation of unchurched peoples. I really don't do well setting down with let me think how to say this. I don't want to step on any toes right out of the gate, but I really don't always play well with traditional church folks. They don't get me. I feel like I get them because I used to be one, but they look at me and they look at me as if it's this weird thing and it's not healthy from either side, but they'll look at me like I need to grow up and graduate to their position, and I feel exactly the same way. And so, you know, they feel like I should be chasing them, and I feel like, well, we'll just come up a little higher with me, actually, if you want to know the truth about it. But I just, and part of that is because, you know, I'm a little unconventional, I get it. You know, it was funny. Yesterday we stopped in, I guess it's called Rio Grande. On 32, way out there, maybe even 35 at that point, but it's where Bob Evans Farm is. And we stopped at a little gas station, and I went in to use the facilities and, get some gas and grab a water, whatever I did. And the people in that little town that were at that gas station, because I had on I had my Stand By Me movie, 1980s, you know, throwback t-shirt. I don't grow up. I don't shut up. I grow up. When I look at you, I throw up. And I had that shirt on. I had my Cincy flat bill on. And I had some black basketball shorts and I had red Jordans. And I walked in and everybody's looking at me like, who is this? Where did he come from? And where's my children? Because in my purse, where's my purse, my wallet, and my children? Because it's, you know, something, this guy can be up to no good. And I thought, I'm a pastor, for crying out loud. I feel like I just want to walk up to people sometimes and go, I know you're worried about me, but I'm a pastor. Don't let the red gym shoes fool you. And so, you know, I, that's when I say that, what I mean by that is sometimes that's how I feel like when I encounter you know, more traditional mainline denominational church people, as they look at me like, who are you? And it's great that you got saved, but let's clean you up a little bit. And I'm like, no. What you don't know is that, you know, I'm a man of God, for crying out loud, and I'm a study pastor, and I've been in the church for all my life and been a Christian for 30 years and blah, 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 blah. And so I feel like I don't always fit in with certain people. And that's because I feel like I have been called and positioned. This isn't about me, but I just want to let you know, starting with me where I stand, because I feel like you do need to have a kindred spirit with your pastor. I believe that it's ridiculous to go to a church, whether it's our church or any church in America or any church in the world, where you don't have at least a little bit of affection and have a little bit of trust in your own pastor. It's never going to end well if you don't. So I just want to make sure you know where I'm at. And so what I believe is that if we want to reach a different crowd, and Dad says it on his Facebook, many of you say it on your Facebook, God knows I say it on my Facebook, and anyone who will listen to me from the pulpit from anywhere, anyone asks me about what's your church about? I said, we're about reaching unchurched people. We're about reaching the lost. Amen. We are too. I'm like, no, you're not. Because you don't do it, because when you mean by that is you would love for lost people to get saved, but only if they're willing to follow the steps that you've laid out for them. Very structured, very rigid, very traditional steps that they have no interest in. And so what Jesus would say to the Pharisees, and what he did say to the Pharisees is what we might say to some church methods, okay? And I'm not going to beat up the church all morning, but he would say, it's great that you follow the law. That's really fantastic, and the Father loves you for it. Hallelujah. It's fantastic that you do that and that you don't eat your hot dogs and that you wear their prayer shawls and that you don't cut your sideburns or your beard. That's all fantastic. You know what? Good job. You're following the rules. Great job. But just so you know, your rules are keeping people from God. And so I feel like that's what God is saying to a modern day church, a 2014 church, is we've got to make sure that our rules don't get in the way. It's good that our traditions have been established, that we have beautiful liturgy and beautiful pathways that we've created in our past over time that grease the tracks for us to connect with God. But what we have to realize is that the tracks that lead us to God, the pathway that leads us to God, as far as methods, is not the same methods, because our pathways and our footpaths were built 30, 40, 50 years ago, and they've become part of our church culture. Now, I'm going to take a little sidestep here for just a second. I'm coming back to that, but what I would encourage you to always remember that there's only one way to the Father, and that's Jesus. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about another way in the form of how do you get to God, how do you connect with God, how do you get reconciled with God. That is through the Christ crucified and resurrected. Let's just all agree that we know that. What I'm talking about is the other ways that we connect, the path that we, the conduits, if you will, of how we connect to God. So I believe that if you want to connect to a people that we haven't had success in reaching, and if you want to connect to a new generation, you have to be willing to do things in a new way on purpose. That's nothing that you haven't heard from me before. In fact, you hear it all the time in bits and pieces. I want to do a little bit more, go a little bit deeper here. But what I have more than ever, is a piece about the fact that we are doing exactly what we're supposed to do. And to the point that I had a conversation with my wife and I had a conversation with my father this week that sounded like I can't be surprised anymore when our new methods ruffle feathers. When our new methods ruffle feathers, I just can't be surprised. It's stupid for me to be surprised because it's new, and people don't like new things, generally speaking. They like the idea of new things, but they don't particularly like new things unless you can convince them it's an easier, better way for them. Here's what I mean by that. If you today drove in a car that didn't have air conditioner, it's because it's broke, not because it doesn't exist in your car, right? If you drove to church today in a car that windows don't roll down, it's because your car is broke, not because it's not an option, right? And I'm thinking about, 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago, think about the Model Ts. They didn't have AM, FM stereos, yes? They didn't have, you know, CD players and MP3 players, and now, my goodness, you can watch a Dolby surround sound movie right in your own car. I highly discourage you from doing that if you were the driver of the car, but you can do all these fancy things. And so we like change if we see a benefit to us, but if we see no benefit to the change, we will always reject it. That is human nature. If we don't see any personal benefit to change, we will always reject it because it is human nature. That is the same way with your jobs. It's the same way with you know, go and, this is funny, we went to Walmart. We were on vacation. I remember one of the first things my mom said is, it's not like our Walmart. And what she meant is that when you walk into a Walmart here, whether it be Amelia, Milford, if it be Eastgate or wherever, that pretty much you know what you're going to get. You're going to walk in and everything is in the same exact place, right? Now, we go into one in Cape Charles, Virginia. You walk right into like school supplies or something. It was like, what are you doing? And then the shampoos and everything are way over here. And they said, well, they're supposed to be down here. And it's all backwards and crazy. And the point is, I would like to assume that somewhere down the way, somebody had done some kind of a survey or done some kind of research that says that works best for them. It didn't work best for us, though, because would have took a 30-minute Walmart trip, which means really a 5-minute trip that turns into 30 minutes, because that's what Walmart does. It sucks the life and time out of you. But what should have taken 30 minutes was like a 2-hour adventure or something, because we didn't know where anything was. It took a minute to get acclimated, and we didn't like the change because the change didn't perceivably benefit us. So when we look at the stuff that we're doing in church, you say, well, why would you do it different? It doesn't even make sense. Because we're not doing it to make it easier for you. We're doing it to make it easier for people who are far from God. And we're not trying to make it more difficult for you who are already close to God and that have been serving God faithfully for years. But what I would like to think, and I think what God would expect of us, is that those of us who know, it doesn't matter what kind of music we sing, it doesn't matter what color the walls are, it doesn't matter what kind of lights we have, it doesn't matter what time we start church, it doesn't matter what day we even have church. At the end of the day, we know how to connect with God, because I would like to assume the saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost are connecting with God Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, as well as Sunday. And so they don't need to come here and get their fix as much as they need to come together and be in communion with the body, whatever it looks like. Whatever it looks like. In fact, the more and more that I walk with God, and particularly in this role as pastor, is I'm convinced more than ever that sometimes you have to make sure the right people don't like you. You have to make sure that the right people don't like you. Well, Scott, you should strive to get along with everybody. Look, I'm trying to get along. I'm trying to get along, but I won't let trying to get along get in the way of what God's called me to, or what I believe he's called this church to. Let me say it again. I don't think I'm misspeaking. I still got the sand hangover, but it's sometimes a good thing when the right people don't like you. Well, let me tell you what I mean by that. So when negative, judgmental Christians complain about the way that we deliver sermons, that's a good thing. When selfish Christians who believe the church owes them something complain about our worship, that's a good thing. When lazy, legalistic Christians who've never even attempted to lead someone to Christ in their entire life complain about how we're too modern and watering down the gospel, that's a good thing. And when I hear those church hopping, emotionally unstable, belligerent, care more about what version of the Bible we're reading out this Sunday than care more about people dying and going to hell kind of Christians, when I hear about how unspiritual our church is from their mouths, I think it's a good thing. Mike, this is a universal sign, okay? He's like, hey, you guys, buckle up. Because we're going to be a house of grace, a house of faith and hope and love. And we're going to reach out to those who are broken and hurting. Jesus said, I didn't come for those of you who are well. I came for the sick. Healthy people don't need a doctor. And in my other life, I'm a financial advisor and a managed advisors and sales training, blah, blah, blah. And part of the products or solutions that we offer families is various forms of insurance. And there's always that one person, it's usually a guy, who we say, because you always have to collect who is your primary care physician and when's the last time you've seen him. And there's always that person who's 42 years old, the picture of health, who's, I haven't been to the doctor since I went to my pediatrician. And meaning that they don't need to go to the doctor. They're good. Now sometimes it's because some people are the picture of unhealthiness, and they're afraid what the doctor's going to tell them, so they don't go for that reason. But if you think about it, the people who are well don't need to go to the doctor. People who are well don't need to go to the doctor. Jesus said the same thing. Jesus said it himself. And so we want to be a house. We want to be a house and a people who will reach out to those who are broken and hurting. We will practice what we preach and engage the unchurched the same way Jesus did, by speaking their language and showing them what love looks like. Rob, can you go ahead and put that Romans up for me? I blew past it. And tell you what, why don't you go ahead and just put a basic background so that Billy Ray doesn't distract us. Will you do that for me? And then go ahead and throw that back up there when you're done. But I was reading through Romans this week. Romans, as you know, we started our read-through series. I appreciate all of you who are taking the time on a daily basis, or some of you on a semi-daily basis, or some of you don't do it at all. That's a whole other deal. But the taking the time to do the read-through series, we started with Romans on purpose because I believe that is the greatest theological book that exists in the Bible. It's a genius book of Paul, and he gives us some revelation about how salvation really, really works behind the scenes even. And so as I was reading that, I came across this in Romans 5, which is probably one of my favorite, it's the most critical, most crucial, top 10 chapter in all of the Bible, in my humble opinion. But it says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. I'm just always going to contend that that is the reason we do what we do. That's what gives me fuel. That's what, when I believe that we encounter someone who's been truly changed and transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ and by God's forgiveness and his reconciliation, is that they can't help but want to try to figure out ways to communicate and share God's glory. What's going on? Are your church falling down over there? Like somebody's throwing rocks from the outside. At least they're on the outside. We practice what we preach and engage the unchurched the same way Jesus did, by speaking their language and showing them what love looks like. I believe that we're all missionaries. I had a conversation that started publicly, went privately with my friend Mike. We talked about this at times. And it basically, you know, we talk about missionaries. We're thinking about people who will go overseas and talk to unchurched or unreached people groups, uncivilized people groups, and what they do. If you think about a missionary who might go to an African country, to a Middle Eastern country, what they will do is they'll first spend time to learn their language. And then they'll take time to learn how they dress, learn their customs, learn how their little subculture works. And so because they know that to be able to reach them, they have to go into their world and make themselves one of them before they can ever have the privilege or have the nerve or have the audacity to ask them to become one of them. You can't just parachute me or you into the middle of some Aboriginal tribe and say, I'm here, who wants some Jesus? And the next thing you know, you hear foomp, and you look down, there's a big arrow sticking out of you, right? You don't do that. Like I wouldn't wear my red Jordans to the tribes of Amazon jungles, right? I wouldn't do that. I just it's an ugly picture of just starting to think about, because I don't know that they wear a lot of clothes, and it gets bad in a hurry. But nonetheless, I might go to a Middle Eastern where they'd wear a lot of robes and stuff. That would be my style. But I would have to wear that. But if I showed up with like a Yeah Buddy or a Natty by Nature or, you know, a Stormtrooper Reds T-shirt, they're like, get the infidel, right? And so you gotta be able to mix in and be a part of their culture before you ever have the opportunity to ask them to be a part of your culture. What do I mean by that? I mean that there are just as many unchurched, far from God people in the United States of America than they are anywhere else in the world. And if we want to reach them, we're going to have to get in and learn their style and learn their language and learn how they operate and learn how they see the world and how they process information. And we have to make friends with them first. Well, we can't do that because the light has no part with darkness. No, but the light shines in the darkness. We are not of the world, but we have been sent into the world. Jesus said, Father, I just pray that you would send them into the world just as you have sent me into the world. Now, don't let him go on vacation anymore because he comes back angry. I'm not angry. I'm focused on what we have to get done here. We will speak their language and show them what love looks like. We will share our personal stories of redemption so that they may look to Jesus and believe that he might save them too. That's what B-Sides, it's coming in September, it's all about. It's the story that you don't tell, but you have to tell if you really want to connect people to God. They don't care about your perfect attendance medals in Sunday school. They don't care about how many Sundays you do or don't miss. They don't care about how many times you pray. They don't care how many times you've read the Bible. What they care about is, tell me about that day, in those days leading up to your conversion. What did life look like? Where maybe you were suicidal, or maybe you were in a broken relationship, or whether your marriage is on a slide, or maybe you didn't know where your next meal was coming from, or maybe it was that you were so hopeless and in despair that you didn't have a friend to turn to, and then you found Jesus, or better said, Jesus found you. That's what they need to hear. By the stories of our salvation and the story of our own reconciliation, they'll be moved to trust in a God who can save them too. We'll sing words of praise that tell of his glory, but we'll use the melody. Listen, we'll sing words of praise that tell of his glory, but we'll use the melodies of this generation as the vehicle to communicate those truths. I'm going to say that again. We'll sing words of praise that tell of his glory. That's what we do. Every song we sing. But we'll use the melodies of this generation as the vehicle to communicate those truths. Well, I don't like, we don't hear that a lot around here. I'm just being honest. But it's part of the global church. It's a real issue. We don't like, you know, this new kind of rock and roll kind of music. Well, you know, I guess I would just encourage you to think about if style and the melody and the instrumentation is what's important, then we'd best go to seminary and find out exactly what it sounded like in Moses' tabernacle. We'd best maybe find a time machine and go back a few thousand years and find out what did the Psalms sound like when they sang them in the ancient church. If style is that important, then that's probably the style we ought to go after. But the God that I serve is an eternal God. He's the Ancient of Days, yes, and he was before time. And time, he doesn't play by the rule of times. In fact, he created times, and he created the sun and the moon so that it would give us the opportunity to measure our days and seasons and years. And that's a sermon maybe I'll let you listen to one other day. That's a powerful thing. But nonetheless, is he the creator of time? But what I'm saying is it's just wacky to go, you know what? I know that they've been singing praises to God for thousands of years, but I really think what God's most impressed with is 1970 to 1989, and I really think that is really where God's heart is. That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. 100 years from now, if Jesus hasn't come and raptured the church, that will make even less sense, right? I mean, you can't stand in the way of progress for the sake of tradition. So we'll use the melodies of this generation because that's what they can connect to communicate the truth about our God. We'll create an atmosphere that feels like 2014 with lighting and video and other presentation enhancements. And we'll forsake our comfort for the comfort of those who are dead in their sins. I have no idea how this is going, by the way. I mean, I've got a tuned in crowd, good, bad, or ugly, but maybe I'll come. No, I won't regret this. My wife will be like, after this, you go, well, remember when you said this? You might have just maybe put a little bit more sugar on that. And again, I just hope that you know I'm coming from a place of conviction, not a place of anger. But we'll create an atmosphere that feels like 2014 with lighting, video, and other presentation enhancements, because we'll forsake our comfort, because we, the last thing that we're worried about is our own comfort. When I say our, I'm talking about people who've been walking with God for years and years and years, who I should be able to drop you in a lion's den and you'll still pray. I should be able to throw you into a fiery furnace and you'll still pray. I should be able to send out all the armies. I believe Israel is still waiting for that war king that they were waiting for when they rejected Jesus the first time. They're still waiting for a military warrior to come and save them from the bad people. He ain't coming. The Prince of Peace already came. Jesus is their Savior and Deliverer. And not the Messiah that they're hoping comes in a big warship to blow up the baddies. It ain't gonna happen. It ain't gonna happen. I don't even know where that came from. Forgive me. Forgive me, Jesus. We will preach sermons that connect with those brand new to their faith by making them aware. Okay, I don't remember what I said. But dropping lion's den in the middle of a war zone in a fiery furnace, you will still pray, you will still praise, you will still sing, you'll still believe, you'll still have faith. If I can shake you by changing the temperature in the room, you've got a problem. I mean, we've got a problem. We got a problem. Mike, could I possibly do anything in terms of musical style or lighting that would make your faith waver in God? No. If you come in next week and the room is neon light, like black lighted, like all the whites glowing like a bowling alley, would that cause you to love Jesus less? Okay. All right. We're not going to do that, by the way. You're trying to let me get out my church's directory from Mount Orb and see where else we can go next Sunday, because I ain't putting up with that monkey business. I think it would be cool. I would just wear like just white shoes and a white hat and nothing else. And I would just look like a ghost walking up here. Just, you know what I'm talking about, black light? Oh, man. Maybe like one of them skeleton suits. You ever seen that? And it's looking like a skeleton. I think that would be sweet. I might try that one day. And the good news, I'm going to do a series on that, Janine Cousins, Dead Man Walking, because we're all dead men and women walking this earth. Why do you mean? We've been made, because what you see, this flesh that you try to keep a tab on and try to make sure that I'm being good versus being bad, that's just a dead man walking that you're seeing. But the real person is inside of me. It's my saved soul. It's my spirit that has been reconnected to the Father through the saving work of Jesus Christ. You all right, Mike? He's all right. Where's your wife? She backslide? She's in the nursery. Okay. I'm just chucking. Oh, we'll preach sermons that connect with those brand new to their faith by making them aware of the depths of God's love for them demonstrated in the crucifixion. We'll define true power that culminated in the resurrection of Jesus and his triumph over sin and death. And in sharing that good news, that gospel with the lost, they will come to new life in Jesus. And as they have been reconciled to God through the shed blood of Christ. And those who are already in the faith, who've been truly, truly saved by grace and transformed by his love, they're never going to grow tired of hearing about the good news. Because what happens when you continue to hear the good news? What's the good news? The good news is that we were once all dead in our sin, but we're not anymore. That we were once alienated from the God who created us and the world. Because of our sin, because of one man's sin, we all have sinned. Because of one man's fall, we all have fallen. But the good news is that because just like one man sinned and caused us all to sin, caused us all to die in our sins, one man's sacrifice, one man's saving act of sacrifice on the cross, that one man named Jesus, because of him being buried and resurrected, we have all been resurrected in him. That's the good news. That is the gospel. And when we continue to hear the gospel on a daily basis, all it does is shovel more dirt on that old man and woman that we used to be. If you get tired of hearing the gospel, I don't know that the gospel has fixed you yet. But because, well, what do you mean by that? Because we don't hear it so much anymore. We used to hear, well, I wish they would stop preaching about salvation. We're already saved, for crying out loud. Whereas your neighbor, is your mom, is your dad, are your kids, are your aunties and uncles and coworkers, are they all saved? Then let's keep preaching the gospel, for crying out loud. But what it should do in you, spiritually speaking, is that is just as much you see that dead man or dead woman that you used to be, is every time that you hear the gospel, it should be like shoveling dirt on top of that gravesite, so that you get pushed down further. The old man gets pushed down further and further and further and further and further into the grave, while your new spiritual man and woman keeps getting raised higher and higher and higher and higher and higher in his grace, in his mercy, until we're completely saturated and immersed by his love. That's what happens when we continue to hear the gospel. The gospel is not something that we needed, it's something that we need. Every day, I need to be reminded of the gospel. My son, he was riding back with us. Jalen was in the car with Mama and Pappy. My son was in the back seat with us on our way back from Virginia yesterday, and he said, we were listening to Hillsong, which, by the way, baby, do we have a sign-up sheet out there? We do have a sign-up sheet. That's why, one of the many reasons I married this woman, because she would do things like create sign-up sheets when I will never remember to do so. But we have a sign-up sheet for the Hillsong Worship event coming up August 28th. And I would just encourage you to sign up, get group pricing. It's like $25 or whatever. So no, we're not going to give you money for the ticket. I'm sorry. But you just, you know, beg, borrow, plead, go sell some blood, whatever you got to do, but get there. But at any rate, we were listening to that song, and it was a song called Calvary. Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My sin and shame don't count anymore. And Bub said, Dad, what's this song about? And I said, it's about Jesus, honey. And he said, well, what? I said, do you remember what I told you about Calvary? And he said, yes. And I said, well, what did I say? And he goes, I don't remember. And so I said, Calvary is the place where Jesus died. He died on the cross, but he died at Calvary. And when Jesus died, and we had this whole conversation because it talked about that he's ransomed our soul. And I had the conversation, Steph said, he doesn't even know what ransom means. And so I had to describe it to him, what ransom means, is that we were once, and I said, it's kind of like, you know how, Bub, when you get thrown in jail, sometimes the people can give the jailer money to get you out. And he goes, yeah, I know that. And I said, that's what Jesus did. We were locked in sin, in a jail cell called sin and death, and Jesus bought us out of there, but he didn't buy us with gold. He bought us with his blood. He said, okay. He gets it. Nobody, yeah, okay, all right, good. We're good, good. And we were driving a little further. We're driving through Charleston, West Virginia, godforsaken town. God bless them. And we're driving through Charleston, West Virginia. And Bob says, Daddy, I think I saw the Jesus' cross and the two crosses that the bad guys were crucified on. I think I seen it. And I said, honey, that didn't happen here. Trust me, it didn't happen here. And I said, well, what we do, though, is we put up a cross as a reminder of what Jesus did for us. And that when you see a cross, that's just somebody saying, thank you, Jesus. That's just somebody saying, thank you, Jesus. We're driving a little further. We're about an hour out. And I said, look over here, Bob. What do you see? And somebody had erected big 12-foot, 10-foot, 15-foot crosses on the side of the road. I said, what does that mean? He said, that means thank you, Jesus. That means thank you, Jesus. And I'll keep telling you like I keep telling our kids. Jesus saved us. Jesus saved us. We weren't naughty. We weren't bad. We weren't worse. We were dead. We were dead. And we've been raised to new life through his triumph over sin and death. And as we hear the gospel and it continues to work down deep in our soul, we'll become more and more like Jesus, more and more conformed and transformed into his image. We're going to preach this gospel until it becomes the blood that flows through our veins. The very air that we breathe, the bread that we eat, that we stay submerged in His grace until it becomes the only language that we speak. That we stay submerged in His grace until it becomes the only language that we speak. So that's what we're going to do. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're just going to keep on doing. Okay. Is we will intentionally continue to do it different than we used to do. Because those old ways worked when they worked. But when they stop working, we've got to continue to invest our time and efforts and money into new ways, new tracks, new connection points of how to connect those who believe that there is no God, or believe that the God that maybe exists is a God who doesn't care about them anyways. And well, you don't know about the stuff that I've been through, and if there was a God, then why would He allow this? If you've never heard that, never been a part of that conversation, you don't talk about God enough, but that's what you hear. Well, how could there ever be a tsunami? How could little children ever die? How could all this happen? You know, I don't know. I don't have the answers to all that. All I know is that this is what He did for me in my life. You know what? I had something like that happen to me. And in those days, being connected to God is the only thing that kept me from losing my mind. It's the only thing that kept me from blowing my brains out. It's the only reason I ever walked out of the bar. It's because of Jesus. And I don't know why those bad things happen. God's got a bigger story. I don't know. But all I know is I've seen other people go through it without God, and it's the end of them. It wrecks them. It breaks them. It destroys them. So if nothing else, I don't know that I know a God who never lets bad things happen. I just know a God who never leaves you when they do. That's the conversations we need to be having. So we'll sing a little different, we'll look a little different, we'll preach a little different. And you know, let me think how personal I want to make this. This is what it is. There was a little festival uptown yesterday. I like country music like I like my cats, so you know. So I don't know that I would have went. You know, that's not my thing. I'm not condemning anybody goes. You know, his wife, we had Sirius XM radio, whatever it is, in the rental car that we had, and there's a few fleeting moments where I had to turn it over to Willie's Roadhouse or Outlaw Country or something, because she was hunkering for some old country, not that new stuff with the men who wear, you know, they straighten their hair with the straightening iron. Like, that's not country. That's something different. Keith Urban is a fraud. I just want to go on record. You can't have an Australian accent when you talk and a country twang when you sing. It's not real. Good, bad, or ugly. When Hank talked, he talked like he sang. You know what I'm saying? You don't like Hank, then we'll do Merle Haggard, Waylon Jennings, whatever. I can go okay with some of that stuff. But anyway, I digress. But my point was, as I was looking at some photos last night, and I saw that there were other churches there in their little booths. I don't know how many. Might have been one. Could have been 50. I don't know. All I know, as far as I know, we weren't invited. We don't get invited to a lot of that kind of stuff. Maybe they don't know about us. That's okay. We'll make them make sure that they know about us. But my point is that we're not being seen like a regular church to people already. And again, I don't know how that makes you feel, but that makes me feel okay, because I know that there's nearly 50,000 people in Brown County alone. And I can guarantee you that there are not 50,000 people in a church on any given Sunday. And we know that by the statistics, there are over 100,000 people in Brown, Claremont, and Highland County who professed on a census, for crying out loud, that they are far from God, don't attend church, have no connection to any church whatsoever. So there's 100,000 people out there, and I just believe that there's that group of 100,000 people, for whatever reason, have seen what's on the menu in local churches and have said, we don't want any of that. And so if we're being kind of subcategorized as something different over here, I just say, well, maybe they'll give us a try because they see us as being different. So again, I know I don't know how that sounds coming out, and I'm okay either way. I'm okay either way how that sounds to you, but just know it's intentional. Just know it's intentional. And I would rather fail, given every last ounce of blood, sweat, and tears that I have, trying to reach people who are far from God, who have been to a more traditional church setting and don't find it useful, don't find it relates, don't find it connects. I would rather go down in flames doing this, what we're doing, than just fall in line to the march. I'm just not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it because my heart is for those people who don't. I'm not blaming the churches, and I don't think that every church should be like ours. I really don't. There's plenty of people who grew up in a more traditional church setting, and that feels like home to them. And I am not going to cast any dispersions on that model. What do you mean by that? Some people need the hymn. Some people need communion every week. Some people need, you know, preacher wearing a tie, for crying out loud. Some people need that kind of stuff because they feel like that's how they connect. But I'm saying there's an awful lot of people who don't have any use for any of that. And they shouldn't be left, you know, on the side of the road saying, well, when you guys can get it together, you can come on in here. We got clip-ons. We got a box of clip-ons. Come get your clip-on, right? What part do you play? Let's talk about that and we'll get you out of here. Hopefully you come back next week. What part do you play? Be there. Hey, Rob, you're going to have to get rid of that Billy. It's giving me the creeps. Get rid of that Billy. That Billy Ray. What a handsome man. We were singing Billy Ray yesterday. Some gave all gave some. And then what's the other one? Took me to now to see. Could have been me. You love that song, Billy Ray. He made like one gospel album, and he goes, you know what? If I got this daughter over here, I'll put her on TV. I can make a lot more money doing that than singing gospel records. God bless him, Billy. Jesus saved Billy Ray Cyrus. The world needs a Christian man like him. So what part do we play? Be there. There we go. All right. Be there. When we're open, you're here. When we do a worship event, you're there. When we do a God's Not Dead movie event, your tail's in the seat with six of your friends. Be there. That's the least we could ask. Just be there. Why? Not because you're obligated, not because you get a guilt trip, not because God's mad at you if you don't, but because you believe in what we're doing. And you believe that seeing people in a room, you ever walk into a restaurant and you're the only soul? What do you think? What does everybody know that I don't know? Ever drive by a restaurant or a store and there's like one car in a parking lot? I do it. I don't know about you, but I do it. Maybe you'll start to do it. You should do it. If you drive by a restaurant during dinner time and there ain't a soul in the parking lot, do not go in. If someone drives by our church and there ain't but one car in the parking lot, then people go, I don't know what's wrong, but something is. So just be there. Just be there and support. That's the one thing that you can do. A second time thing is give. You can give. Give of your time. We need people who mow grass and people who we got a cleanup day coming. Is that right, Mike? Is that this coming Saturday? Yes. Saturday the 9th at 9 a.m. Okay, we got people. We need washed walls, washed and carpets vacuumed and shampooed, and we need stuff fixed. And thank you all who already do a lot of that stuff and have done that. But we need that stuff. We need time. We need energy. We need money. We need your talents. If you do something, you're good at it, we'll figure out a way to how to plug it into the body to make us better. Third thing, be a disciple. Be a disciple. That'll help. That'll help us get this done if you're a disciple. Not just a Christian who comes once a week. That's not what I'm talking about. But be a disciple who reads your Bible every day, because it's food for you, because it does something to you supernaturally. Spiritually speaking, it renews your spirit and your soul, and it refreshes your mind and gets you thinking about things you ought to think about and get you stop thinking about things that you ought not to think about. But be a disciple. Spend some time in prayer. Worship. Worship with us in church and worship with us outside of church. Meaning, what's that mean? It means that we should be a worshiping church that sings. You plug in your iPod or your tablet or your TV, or go on the Sirius. If you've got Direct TV, there's like a channel just plays Christian music all day. If you like old Southern gospel, they got a channel. You like hymns, they got a channel. If you like black gospel, they got a channel. If you like 104.3 style, they got that too, right? So get whatever connects you to God in that moment. Just do that. But just spend some time with God. And the fourth and last thing that I ask you to do is to be a bringer. Be a bringer. Just be a bringer. Not an inviter. That's the first step, but a bringer. Meet me at the church. I'll wait in the parking lot with you. How about I pick you up? There are people with less than a mile from here. They would probably come if we pick them up. I'll pick you up. How about you meet me at the church? I'll save you a seat in my pew, and we'll go to country and afterwards. Right? We'll make a day of it. You can come over to the house afterwards, and we'll watch TV or play video games or whatever. Who cares? Play cornhole. Be a bringer. Be a bringer. Bring people with you. Why? What kind of people do you want to bring? Not people who are like mad at their own church. My church is terrible. I hate my pastor. Why don't you come down to our church? It's pretty cool. Guess what? They'll hate me too, I promise. They will. It's proven time and time again. Angry church people stay angry no matter what you do. They got to get fixed. They got issues, and we love them too. But bring somebody at your work who doesn't even know they need Jesus, and bring them into God's presence, and bring them into a real group of people who are not caught up in all the things that don't even matter anymore, but they're caught up in how much God loves them. Be a bringer. So if all that I said today, the manifesto, if you will, if all that sounds great, you're in the right place. And if you're willing to be there and give and be a disciple and be a bringer, you're in exactly the right place. If you think like you're good with like 50% of that, you're in the right place. If you're good with about 32% of that, you're in the right place. If you're 100% unequivocally against that, then I'll help you pack. Life is too short to be fighting, right? We just ain't gonna fight. We're just gonna hug and kiss and part ways. But I believe that this is a people in this house who think that there's some value and some importance in the stuff that we're talking about here today. I believe that there are people in this room, if not almost, hopefully all, that will hear what I said today and said, you know what? I get it. It makes sense. I know why we do what we're doing. And it's all about the prize. The prize and the currency of heaven is souls coming to Jesus, being reconciled to the Father, those who are dead in their sins, being raised to new life in Jesus Christ. That is winning. That is winning. That is winning. I'm going to take 4 more minutes and say something else I feel like God has put on my heart this morning. Don't know why. Don't need to. There are people in this room who probably before you leave the room, but if not then, but the second you get home today, you need to take people off your Facebook friends. You need to delete people out of your phone contact list. You need to lose the number. You need to block their email address. Because I just know, but I told you we already established how intelligent and smart I am, Well, I just that's a joke. If you're new here, just know that's a joke. This is how I do. If that there's some of you in this room, if that there is a, as we talked about, conduits to God. We want to sing melodies that can pull people in to the truth about God. We want to preach in a way that pulls them in to connecting to God. We want to create an atmosphere that pulls them in to connecting to God. There are people in your life who represent conduits to death. Conduits to death. I have heard God tell me time and time again through my life, you can't have that and have me. You can't have that and have what I've called you to do. And it is easier said than done. And maybe it's not a person as much as it is a place that you go, where you know in your heart of hearts that if you show up on that specific day and time, that there's something bad going to happen to you. I'm just going to go play darts. No, you're going to get hammered and make bad decisions. I just like to bowl a little bit. Well, you know that guy's there that you get all mixed up and tangled up with, and then you go on a month bender of sadness and despair. Don't go bowling. Again, I don't know. Maybe there's one. Maybe there's 96% of you. I don't know. I'm looking at some of you. Probably not. But I'm just saying that I just want to encourage you today to make a bold move and burn the bridge. Because we're not letting go, we're not letting up, and we're not compromising on what we have to do. And for you to be able to be the person and the player that you need to be in this mission that we've got in front of us, this difficult, uncharted territory that we're blazing our way into, you've got to be on point. You've got to be on your A game, and you can't be on your A game if you keep getting drugged down into the mud. Some of you might need to discontinue the premium package on your cable service because there's that one channel that gets you in trouble. Well, I just need to get to a place where I'm mature enough to over... No, you need to flee from sin. You need to flee from sin. Jesus said, look, man, if your hand offends you, just cut that baby off, because it's better to be a one-armed bandit in heaven than it is to be and have two hands in hell. That eye offends you, put that baby out. Well, that sounds a little extreme. Okay, don't do that. Turn off your internet. Turn it off. Turn off your data package on your phone. I'm just telling you that God loves you enough. Your old school preacher would be like looking through the room and seeing the person holding their head. And he'd be like, you, sir, God told me to tell you, sir. Come up here. I'm going to tell you, sir. I don't do that. That's games. You say pornography and five men go, oh, God. Then you go, you, and you, come up here. God just told me you got a problem. God loves you enough. He never wants to shame you, but he loves you enough to send you a lifeline this morning. That's somebody, I'm just telling you, it's somebody, some people who need to do a drastic thing to be able to play their A game. He is no good for you. She is no good for you. That TV show is no good for you. Maybe a personal, this is not like a sin going to hell thing, but you, maybe you understand. Sirius Radio, SIRIUS, it's like satellite radio. It's pretty cool. We had a little setup that had the message, which is like the Christian station. Then we had 90s on 9. It was all 90s music, which is fantastic. I mean, it's just a fantastic station. Anything from Informer to, I don't want to start. Okay, so all the 90s music that you forgot about, you're like, oh, snap, that's my jam. And so 90s on 9, then it was E Street Radio, which I love because it's all Bruce Springsteen 24 hours a day. It's this beautiful thing. Then we had The Message, and then we had Hair Nation, which, sometimes you just need, every rose has its thorn. You just need that in your life. And so we had that. We were in the car for 12 hours, okay? So cut me some slack. And then we had 80s on 8, which is all 80s music, which is fantastic. Take on me, take me on, like that stuff. And then we had, what was this one, babe? Do you remember? the hits, just like, you know, modern music. Well, we were just flipping through, right, like constantly, like just always had a, almost always had a good tune on because you had so many selections to choose from. And beyond that, there's hundreds more. Yeah, it got to the point where I think it was yesterday. We was listening to some stuff, and it wasn't like terrible stuff. It wasn't like, you know, like every time we let's go by the hip hop, like every single time it was like F, like just F, like shouting at you, or like, geez, man, like, and you're just turning it, you know, just flipping beep 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 flipping through. But anyways, the point is that we were listening to so much stuff, until I got to the point. Steph was sleeping. And I said, I just need to fill my I just feel my tank with some good stuff. Now, not like this stuff was so bad. I'm not against secular music. I love it. I like it. I'm good. I like to celebrate life and love and everything else in between. And I like to have a good time and think about, I don't dance, but I like to think about dancing. And so I like fast music and all that kind of stuff. What I'm saying is that I had to get some stuff on. I had to get on No Other Name by Hillsong. I had to get in there. I had Calvary, Covers It All, My Sin and Shame Don't Count Anymore. I had to get that in my system. I had to get that in my system. Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. There's a new version called Broken Vessels by Hillsong. It's oh my goodness, it's amazing. And so he's singing that, and I could just feel different from the inside. I don't know if that even makes sense to you. If you're a worshiper, it makes sense to you, but sometimes you just need to connect to God in a deep way, and you need to kind of flush out your system. And I'm telling you that as little as that did, that just changing the station for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, actually it was the last hour or so home, it's just changing that station, and it really just put on my stuff I had on my phone and put it through the Bluetooth of the fancy rental car, and it was coming back out of me. It was fantastic. But it just listen to that music, it just kind of lifted me up, engaging in that powerful worship, and just those little things that some of you need to change your station. Just change your station. Why? Well, Scott, you're preaching two sermons here. Well, I got to do a little something because I think you might have made you mad with the first sermon. But I'm just saying that this first sermon is connected to the second one because you can't get on board this train with us that we're going full speed ahead to change the world if you're on the wrong station. You just can't do it. Well, I don't sin. God bless those sinners. I just pray for them. No, all right. Well, everybody else but that person. You know that there's always something. There's some little bear trap that's always set for you. And I'm just saying, enough's enough. Today's the day. Enough's enough. Today's the day. Can you say it with me? Enough's enough, and today's the day. Enough's enough, and today's the day. I'm praying for you. I'm counting on you. I'm believing in you, and I need you to do this with us. I need you. It will not always be fun. Work ain't fun. It will stretch you. It will challenge you. It will cause you to question the path that you've took in the past. It's not supposed to do that. It's just saying, how exciting would it be? We all have the privilege and the benefit of connecting to God and walking through paths that were already blazed for us by those saints of old. We were privileged to have those opportunities. Thank God that they were with the machete in the jungle, chopping down the path for us to make it easy for us to connect. And all I'm saying is, let's be that for somebody else. Let's be those people for somebody else. Let's get out our machetes, our weed whackers, our zero-turn mowers, or whatever it looks like, and let's just blaze new trails for this new lost generation and give them some pathways to connect to God. I should get at least 17 amens. I mean, at least, maybe even 18. My goodness. I'm going to pray for you. We'll shut it down. You ready? Bow your head, close your eyes. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you kept my family safe, and I thank you that you put my heart right here in this church and with these people. And I know that you've called us to do something that has never been done in this community. It's exciting, it's scary, it's terrifying at times, it's exhilarating, but it's your will. We know it. We know the people who are here, give us a kindred spirit and a kindred heart that we would pull together, and not for our glory, but for your glory, for your renown. We want to make you famous, and we want to spread your love in the dark places where the light hasn't reached just yet. And Father, I'm as I believe you're calling me and everyone in this room up to a higher standard, up to a higher level, up to a different place with you, that we might find you, that we might connect with you, that we might pull this thing off in your name. that those of us who are still struggling with those, that just that one deal, that one sin, that one station, that one friendship, that one thing, that you would just give us the courage to just, enough's enough, today's the day, enough's enough, today's the day. I'm just going to quit it. I know that you'll give me strength. That's what I just wish that you put in the hearts of us this morning. Just give us the faith in you that you say, not only will you give us the strength to change the station, you will fill the void that's left by cutting that out of our life. You'll fill it with glory. You'll fill it with goodness and love and peace and hope and forgiveness and light. And sooner than later, we'll forget why we ever needed that thing in the first place. We'll just forget it. I know you've called us, you've assembled us for such a time as this. Do your work as only you can do, Heavenly Father. And we love you, we know you love us, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Love you, folks. We'll see you next time.
For more information on our church family, visit us at www.iheartthebridge.com and see how we're building bridges to better tomorrows through the love and hope of Jesus.